Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Thank you. Wow, praise God. Thank you. Can you hear me?
No.
It's on and it's not muted, so it's you lot. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hey, they found the button. Praise the Lord. Actually, it's absolutely fantastic to be here. Yeah, it is absolutely right. The last time I spoke was the last Sunday we were here, just before we shot off to the sunnier climes of Scarborough, although the slightly flooded climes of Scarborough at the moment. I don't know how many stories I'm going to tell you this morning. I'm going to keep them to a minimum because God's given me something that I want to share because there's going to be a release of faith in the place just for healings and miracles. I don't know how he's done it with such a ragtag bunch, but somehow we're just suddenly seeing all these healings and miracles. And I think it's just because we decided to let God take over and just do what he's told us to do. But yeah, that's where we're at. And this favour thing is incredible. It's such a God thing because you can't really create favour. And there's just so many opportunities. And where he's placed us. I mean, when we went up to Scarborough, God said you're to have a building in the centre. And everyone said, there's no such building. Even the local council, you'd think they'd know what they were talking about, said, there's no such building. So you won't be able to do that. And we started in a room above a library. I tell you, a noisy church above a library that's open is not ideal. But there was grace, and when the grace lifted, boy, did we know it. Then we went to the theatre, and that was awesome. We had a great time at the theatre, but it still wasn't our own place. And obviously, just over a year ago, God gave us this building, which used to be a nightclub and snooker club, just next to the town hall and some other nightclubs right in the centre of town. And every now and then, Kate and I look at one another and these days and say, what on earth did we do before we had this place? Because it's just been so busy. There's probably between 500 and 600 people a week going through that building, different people, of which a third are Christians. Because there's just so much engagement with the community and what they're doing. Even the traditional stuff, like, you know, a parent and toddler group, that's lots. We all do that, don't we? That's a church thing to do. We called it Little Builders because we're Kingdom Faith. And we had two toddlers in the church. So, and the team initially had a vision for 15, and I said, you've got to think at least 50. And they went, well, I don't know if we can cope with 50. I said, you need to think at least 50 because it's going to be more. But anyway, they got going. They were just going to use the creche. I said, you'll be using the whole building. Yeah. And today, there's 200 kids on that register. actually, even I say, praise God, they don't all come together. The day they all turn up on a Sunday. Now, that's going to be interesting. And the cafe that's opened, you know, again, just a sign of God's favour. 4 years ago or so, I was sitting in a coffee shop in town called Roasters. And he had just recently won an award in The Guardian for one of the top 10 coffee shops in the country. And I was chatting with this guy, and he was saying to me, you need to have a building on the outside of town because they're cheaper out there, they're bigger out there. You can get." I said, I can't, because God said the centre. I said, I've got to let him show me the right building. This was 4 years before. And I said, I'll tell you what else. I said, because we were sitting in this coffee shop, Roasters, we're going to have a coffee shop in it, and it's going to be the best there is in town, and that guy's going to run it. All right? Because this was the guy that was running the coffee shop, who was a militant atheist. Now, last Christmas, Brian, his name is, he got saved. And a couple of months ago, he came to me and said, God's told me. I love it when atheists come to you and say, ex-atheists come to you and say, God's told me. Because he used to think I was insane when I spoke like that. He was a great fan of, you know, of Dawkins and Hitchens and all those groups. But he came to me and said, God's told me to give up work. This is a young believer. And run the coffee shop here at Kingdom Faith. I'd never told him this, that I'd sat in the coffee shop that he used to run and said he's going to run it. And actually, I was kind of joking at the time anyway. The Holy Spirit was having the last laugh because I didn't know I was being prophetic. The best prophecies I've ever given, I've not known about it. You find out, like, I was being prophetic. That was good. The ones where I think I'm being prophetic, they're the worst. You get in the way, don't you? So he's now running the coffee shop. He's given up work. He wasn't expecting to be paid, and he hasn't. But his faith has been rewarded. No, he will be paid, and we've been able to give him a gift each month because that coffee shop is one of the reasons it's so busy. There's just so many people now coming in. It's open every single day of the week, apart from Mondays. And it's just full of people, and the word's getting round, and people are coming. And you know, one of the things that people have been saying to me, and this is the dear thing to me, not people who go to church, this is the best coffee shop in town. Yeah, come on. Because we want to do things of excellence. I don't want to be the best church coffee shop. I want to have the best. You know, I'm a bit arrogant. I want the best church in town. You know, I don't mind if you go to another one and that's your best church. That's absolutely brilliant. But I'm going to be at the one that's the best for me. All right. And I want to reflect that bestness because the God I know is the best. All right. He's a God of excellence. He does everything well. When I look at creation before we got corruption involved and still what's left, it's absolutely awesome. So everything I do, everything I take hold of, every promise he gives me, I expect there to be a touch of awesomeness in it. In the terms of God's always going to surprise you and do something better than you thought, you know? It's a bit of a laugh. I've got this in my pocket. It's a bit tatty now because I picked it up and I've been carrying it around. This is just a little sign of God's favour because healing comes from God's favour. God's favour is God's grace. It's undeserved. You don't deserve to be healed. You don't deserve a miracle. You don't deserve to be saved. But he does it anyway. And we just keep getting all this stuff we don't deserve. And it just really helps. But this is just a funny one. This is a leaflet given to me by one of the nightclubs that we're next door to called the Barbican. And they came into us and they said, we've seen that there's a lot of people going in and out of your building. They said, we've seen that you're known... This is what they said to us, for success. And they said, we'd like to identify with that. We're going to be giving out some leaflets. Can we put your logo on our leaflets? How many nightclubs go to the church and say, can we use your logo? So I didn't ask Clive, because he might have winced. But here we have... Barbican Scarborough, and this is a voucher for 25% off food. And there, if you can see it all the way back there, is a Kingdom Faith logo that they stole off our website and stuck on the leaflet. So, and they're giving them out in their bar. They gave a load to us as well. Yes, so if you're in Scarborough on a Tuesday, you can have 25% off your food, courtesy of Kingdom Faith. I mean, why do I tell you these things? Because I just think God's favour is funny. You know, if you can have favour with nightclubs, you can have favour with anyone. Yeah, and God's just given us tremendous... We run a safe haven, you know. I'm not going to repeat all the stuff we do with street angels, youth angels, community angels, and I'm really getting on to what I'm going to speak from the Word. But I'm just trying to tell you, God loves you. You're a favourite of His. You're His favourite, because favourite is someone that has favour bestowed on them. And I love that because I don't have to deserve it. It's not whether I've prayed enough. It's not whether I've read my Bible enough. It's not whether I've been faithful enough. It's all to do with Him. And just realizing it's Him, 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 Him. That's what faith is. Faith just says, God's great. God is awesome. God's my Father, and I'm a favorite of His, and He wants to pour out favor on my life. That's all that faith is. We make faith so complicated. You know, it's when I've got enough faith... I'm going to change the world. I'm staggering with my faith. Look at my faith. And Jesus comes on and says, it's just as small as a mustard seed. You know, tiny, tiny little thing, big results. An old story of faith was, and this is a really old one, there's loads of faults in it, but I still like it, is when you came into church and you sat down, did you check that chair out? Come on, how many of your people got on your hands and knees and checked the screws were in? And actually, some of these chairs are aging a bit. And there is the odd chair that you sit on these days. Oops. But did you check it out? Or did you just sit down? You had faith that chair would stay there. You didn't have faith in a chair. You had faith in the person that designed that chair, that it was designed to take your weight. You had faith in the person that made that chair, that they made it according to a set plan and that it was going to be good for sitting on. All right? And you had faith in the person, whoever when it was, 90-something, when the chairs were bought. You had faith in the person that bought it, who redeemed that chair and placed it in this building. So you sat on it because you had faith in the designer, the maker, the redeemer. Now, if we just do that with life and Jesus, have faith in the designer, that he's got a good design, that he's made things well, and that he has redeemed us, we'd just be able to sit on that faith and be supported in what God's doing. Yeah? So I just, because this healing and miracles thing has always bugged me, and I still don't understand it. Because, well, we'll see the because. Let's go. I'm in Luke, all right? And I've got to do some stuff that I've been speaking about over weeks, really quick. And then we just want to release what God wants to do. Here's one. Now, Luke 4, at verse 40. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all those suffering from a variety of sicknesses. He laid hands on each one and healed them. What's the chair say? He laid hands on each one and healed them. Not there were a few exceptions. Not those who were under a family curse didn't get healed, or those who were in some kind of sin, or those who didn't have the right kind of theology, or those that were saved, or those that were unsaved, although that didn't really exist as such. Those who were faithful in following the Jewish faith, those who were unfaithful. It just says he healed them. Why? Because that's what favor is. It's undeserved grace. And sometimes, because we make up excuses for why healing doesn't happen. But God doesn't have any excuses. Jesus' consistent and continuous message was repent, which means change your mind. The Greek word's metanoia. Change your mind about the way you've understood stuff. Repent. And see that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's in front of you. It's here. It's ready right now. And the kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of Jesus. And the rule and the reign of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In heaven, there's no sickness. So if it's here, it's ready, we've got it. And if we don't see it, we don't need to make up excuses for God. The only problem's us. But that's all right, because it's not to do with us, it's all to do with him. I mean, basically, there's a faith issue, but we get scared of saying we don't have faith because we feel like we're going to put people under condemnation. You don't have enough faith. After it's only a mustard seed you need. To realize you didn't have faith for something is freedom. Because you can say to Jesus, I'm sorry, I didn't believe it. Help me overcome my unbelief. Because there's no condemnation in it. Jesus doesn't sort of, you don't believe me. He just wants you to believe him. And he'll show you other ways so that you get excited about what he's doing. So that you believe him. So if you've not seen healing, it might be, you could think of lots and lots of reasons and do studies and probably get a doctorate in it. Or you could just say, I'm going to sit on the chair. Because that's what it says. So there's that one anyway. But you see, that isn't an isolated one. Let's go. We haven't got time to do them all, but and we're just going to stick in Luke. Where should we go? We need to jump through this. We'll miss out all this, that stuff. The Word of God. Here you are. Here's another little bit like that in Luke 6. They went to hear him preach. That's obviously Jesus. And be healed from their various diseases. Those who had been afflicted by evil spirits were set free and healed. Everyone wanted to touch him because God's power flowed out of him and healed them all. 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 I preached on this a few Sundays ago. God healed them all. It's a scary thing to preach because the failure rate is fantastic. Because, you know, you could have 100 people come forward and heal 99 of them and you still failed according to what you said. I don't care. Let's go for the 99 that have been healed.
Very good.
That morning, 22 people came forward for healing. And we did a come forward. We do all the different ways we do healing, but I'm a great fan of the come forward because you've got to sit on the chair. And people really wonder, have I got faith for healing? It's the size of a mustard seed, right? So if somebody at the front has said, come forward to receive your healing, and you go forward, you've got the faith.
That's it.
You can stop worrying about whether you've got it. You've just responded to it. You've just done it. You've just sat on the chair. Your feelings might be screaming out, oh, nothing might happen. But when I'm praying for people, most of the time I'm going, nothing might happen. But so you give that chance for people to respond, and they just take that little tiny mustard seed. Yeah, I'll go forward. I'll give it a go, especially if they don't know the Lord yet. But they come forward thinking, well, I'll give it a go. And so I'd done this, and I went through, just healed them all, healed them all, healed them all, healed them all. And people got healed while we were speaking, but 22 also came forward. And 19 of the 22, well, all 22 experienced, I like that, experienced the power of God in some way. Anointing oil flowing through them, heat, cold, shaking, whatever it is, they all experienced God. I like a bit of experience. God's not a cold fish. He likes to hug you. He likes to do things that says, here's my word, here's my presence. You know, he's the creator of the universe. He's very powerful. If you stick your finger in an electric socket, which I don't recommend. Ladies and gentlemen, the health and safety message of this is, do not stick your fingers in an electric socket. But if you did, because you were a bit dim, and you got past all the safety stuff, all right, you would probably shake a little bit, wouldn't you? You might die as well, but that's a side issue. It would affect you. All right, so if the power of the universe touches you, it's not unusual for a few things to happen to that person that's being impacted by the power of God. So we don't need to get worried about that. And yes, sure, do people ever sort of fall over because they're trying to make God happen? Yeah, of course they do. That's why we have catchers. You don't need them if it's just God. But we do have them because people do, and that's okay. That's where they're at. And maybe they're trying to execute some faith in falling. If I fall over, God might heal me. You know what? God might heal them because they fell over. Because he breaks his own rules in that sort of way. He just comes in, oh, yeah, come on. Grace, grace, grace. You could have no faith and get healed as well. That's the most bizarre thing about the Lord. You know, it's grace. It's not your faith. It's his. All right. Our faith, it's a little mustard seed, you see. It depends what you're putting your faith in. If you're putting your faith in a chair, there's not a lot required, really, is there, in the sense of, and you'll be rewarded in the fact that you can sit on the chair. But when you put your little tiny mustard seed with an infinitely huge God, you can see that your little bit doesn't make much difference. It doesn't even really make much difference whether you're a tiny mustard seed or even a large mustard seed, which is still very, very tiny, because compared to God, who you're putting your faith in, not the chair, not the healing, not the prayer, not the preacher, it's huge. Your faith is enormous because it's the size of Jesus, because it's in Jesus. Are you getting some of this? I know you know some of this, but I just want to really excite you a little bit about it and then let God do something. Is that all right? Boom, 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 boom. Time is marching on. So everybody wanted to touch him. The Greek word is hapto. It means take hold of, fasten onto. We need to fasten onto Jesus. Take hold of it and not let go. Now, as we prayed for the 22 people, some of them got healed instantly, particularly things. There was a lady who'd got really painful hips for 27 years and caused a lot of pain when she was walking, and she got healed like that. All right. Now, others don't happen like that. Others happen sometimes later in the service, and sometimes the healing begins. If you feel a lessening of the pain, you do two things. You go, praise God, it's begun. You don't say, praise God, yes, I'm a little bit better now. That's fine. Thank you, Jesus. That's all I deserve. No, you didn't deserve that either. But by grace, he wants to give you 100%. So if you feel a 10%, pain's a good one, because pain's really easy to sort of feel, oh, it's gone down. That's, yes, come on, it's happening. It's happening. I'm being healed. And the number of people, I have no idea, because it's so many now, who have got completely healed there. It began with something small. Oh, yeah, it's happening. And it might have happened there and then, or it might have happened later. One girl who came forward, she reached out her arm to pray for me. I think Clive might have told some of you this, but I'm telling you again because it's my story now. And she had this, you could see where she'd got the metal plates in her arm. She said that she'd badly broken her wrist. She didn't actually give the full story. It was a lot worse than that. But there was this metal plate in her arm, and she was in a lot of pain. And I took her hand and waited for God to do something. And so I was holding her hand. the imprint of the plate, which was sticking through her skin, you see, just disappeared. And she says, ah, that's what she said. Ah, I thought she, you know, I'd hurt her hand in the way I was holding it. And she said, no, it doesn't hurt. And she was astonished. I said, well, what couldn't you do? She said, I couldn't lift my arm up. I said, well, lift your arm up. So she lifted her arm up. And she was completely set free, but I didn't realise even then, I mean, the metal plate disappearing was significant. There was no puddle of metal on the floor like I've seen before, but it was gone. That was 5 weeks ago, I think, and she's still going strong, so I'll let you know that bit as well. It wasn't just a flash in the pan, but then metal bits disappearing, I suppose, isn't. But she went home, and she lived with a bunch of non-Christians, and she wanted to show them she was healed. And so previously to this, it was her left hand, she couldn't even hold a dinner plate. I didn't know that, but she couldn't hold a dinner plate. It was too painful because of what had happened in her arm and the way it had mended and healed. So she said, let's go shopping. And she carried home the shopping bags. Ah, it's lovely. But there was a young boy healed. It's good to tell you some stories because we all get a little bit excited and think, oh, God really is doing stuff. You know, there's a little boy, and the mother had come forward. She was one of the 22, you see. And she said to me, my son is autistic. He was about 8 or 9 and has never spoken. And I said, oh, okay, let's go and pray for him, because he was sitting with his dad in the congregation. And she said, oh, you can't. He'll run away if you go near him. So I said, okay, well, I'll pray for you then. Let's pray here. But as I began to pray, the Holy Spirit said to me, no, go and pray with him. And there, at that point, you have to make a decision to be obedient to what God's saying, even though it sounds like it's going to be disastrous. Or you keep safe and just do what looks better. Yeah. Had that recently. It was the same service, because I was talking about the Father Heart of God and similar stuff to what we're doing here, and God just wanting to favour you. And I knew that's what we were going into, and we're all worshipping and the presence of God there, and it's powerful, you know, real kingdom faith signature type stuff. It's like we're up in there in the worship. Nothing must interrupt because we're just focusing on Jesus. And God says to me, and I'm beginning to think that's not God, but God says to me, I want you to ask if anyone needs a new washing machine. And I'm thinking, you can't do that in the middle of worship. You know, we're lost in you, Lord. You can't stop the worship in a moment. It was a kingdom faith moment too, not just any old worship moment. And ask, is everyone here needs a new washing machine? Because God said, because I want you to buy them one. And I'm thinking, what if 3 people want washing machines? This is going to go... This is going to get expensive. So anyway, to make sure nobody knows what's going on, I stay on the floor on my face, which is where I am, saying, it will go away. In my ear, that's next to the stage, I can hear the band beginning to flounder, because the worship has been Spirit-led, but the Spirit isn't leading it anymore. He's talking about washing machines. So the band sort of, where are we going? What's happening? Why? Where? And Kate, my wife, is on stage. She was playing bass that morning. No, she was playing acoustic guitar, but that's not really relevant. And she's strumming away, and God says to her, go and kick Paul.
Excellent.
And tell him to get up and do what I've told him to do. Well, my wife's quite nice. And she didn't feel like kicking me in a kingdom faith spiritual moment, so she did nothing. But she said, afterwards, we're talking about this, she said, and God told me you were going to ask people if they needed a washing machine. But she didn't come and kick me. I lay there for a bit longer, and I think the worship's not in a moment anymore, it's going everywhere, because the Holy Spirit's popped out for a coffee because nobody's doing what he said. So I stood up and said, I don't normally do this, but I didn't even do it well. You know, when you sort of, let's just bring that gently to an end. And then I just said, can you just stop? Because it had gone beyond, you know, doing it nicely. And yeah, I said, I'm really sorry about this. I said, the worship was really great, but God spoke to me and I didn't do what he said, and that's why it's gone off. And I said, and this is really odd. I've never done this before, and I'm not doing it this morning. So even if you need one, tough. I said, is there anyone here that needs a new washing machine? Your washing machine's just broken because God's told me to buy you one. And nothing happened. I think, okay, I really messed that one up, didn't I? Should have just... But then someone was brave enough to say, actually, that's us. Turned out to be a friend of mine, so that was even nicer. Well, I had no idea they needed a washing machine. And I said, yeah, we need one. I said, well, God's told me to buy you one, so let's get it sorted. And then we got on with the service. But it became a signature point for weeks of the favour of God, who will intervene in any situation. I tell you who the guy was that needed the washing machine. It was Brian, who had started the coffee shop. And the week he started the coffee shop and gave up work, his washing machine broke down. And he couldn't replace it because he didn't have any money. So it did him a power of good. You know? And, well, and it did everybody. So you just have to say the words washing machine at the moment at Kingdom Faith. Yeah, come on. God does anything. And then we went into this time of healing. And the boy, because I haven't forgotten, and I am getting back to the word, and we are healing. The boy, I went over to him, and he was sitting on a row like this. And so he'd be sat about here. And I'd be sat about where Jonathan is. And I just sat down and looked at him. And immediately a look of fear came over his face. And I thought, oh, no. And I'm leading the service, so it's kind of stopped. You know, and everybody's just watching me sit down in the congregation back here somewhere in a row. They don't even know I'm praying for the boy at this point because they didn't know what I was doing. So I sat there. And I looked at him, and he hid with his dad. And then he sort of peeked out. And so I just smiled at him. And I just started to talk to him and tell him that Jesus is going to heal you. And after a little while, I said, do you want to hold hands? Remember, he doesn't even talk to strangers or go near strangers. And I'm well strange. Thank you. And he got his shirt sleeves and he hid his hands in his shirt sleeves and he offered me a shirt sleeve. Now, I knew this was big because of the snot coming out of Dad's nose at this point because he's just sobbing so much that his son is responding in this way. So he hands me his hands inside his shirt cuffs and I'm holding them there like that and I'm thinking, Lord, is this still right? Do you still want me to be doing this? We've stopped everything. We've stopped an entire service with all these people here. Is this okay? And the Lord's saying, this is what I want you to do. So we carried on. Nothing's happening at all. Apart from that, there's a whole bunch of people who are praying. And I know they're praying. So I did that little while, and I took my finger, and I stuck it up his shirt cuff, and just touched his hand. And he smiled again. And he brought his hands out and took hold of my hand. So then we were holding hands, which... Again, Mum, who's still at the front, is just sobbing and crying because she knows something significant's happening. Dad knows significant's happening. And I continued just to chat with him, really, saying, Jesus is healing you. Jesus is healing you. And as I'm saying this, the little boy says, remember, never spoken, he's 8 years old, Amen. And he keeps saying, Amen, Amen, Amen. He keeps repeating it. And I say to him, do you know who's healed you? It's Jesus who's healed you. Amen. I said, can you say Jesus? He said, Jesus. He never said Jesus again. He went back to Amen. And he only ever said two words that morning. But we just listened to God and took a tiny little mustard seed of faith. And God was doing something very significant in that little boy. They're not part of our church. I don't know where they're from. They've not been in touch since. So I don't know what's happening since. All I know is what happened that morning.
Very good.
So praise God. There was another woman who was suffering from severe breakdown for whom we prayed and absolutely nothing appeared to happen. But 5 weeks later, we are getting stories back because we do try and keep in touch with these people that she's being healed. She's starting to respond to her husband again. And the fact that she received prayer, her husband was really astonished. That apparently was a huge breakthrough. So anyway... Let's go back to this. Why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, and yet you do not put what I say into practice? The one who comes to me hears my word and sits on the chair. Puts it into practice. Do you want to see the dead raised? How many dead people you prayed for? I just used that because it's a little extreme. The first dead person I ever prayed for was my dad. He didn't come back from the dead. But I knew at that time when I was just in the room alone with him, shortly after he died, well, I can't keep saying this kind of stuff and not do it. So I prayed for about half an hour. Would I do the same again? You bet I would. Because it's him, not me. I'll just do what he says. I'll leave the rest to him. I'll just sit on the chair. I'll pray for the autistic boy. The other thing, we're seeing some breakthrough in his Alzheimer's. Haven't seen any Alzheimer's completely healed, but we've seen improvement. Amen. Alzheimer's is a vicious, nasty, demonic illness. It robs life, so it's obvious where it's coming from. Amen. And the world hasn't got an answer, so we need to give them the answer, which is Jesus. You know, we mustn't be embarrassed. You know, if I'm dealing with people who don't know Christians and you try not to sort of leave them with a sense of God is hopeless, you know, you can always, if you want to, dilute it a little bit in the sense of just talk about when you go to the doctor and he gives you medicine, you take it. If it didn't work, would you never go back to the doctor? You'd be a fool, wouldn't you? You'd go back and try again or try something different or get some more advice or follow it up. It's just like that with Jesus sometimes. Just because you don't get an answer to prayer doesn't mean I won't do that again. You go back. You keep learning, you keep discovering, you keep joining the adventure. We've got such a huge collective still unbelief in the church that healing is ever going to happen. It's probably surprising it ever does. But it is, and it's rising. It's not just happening in Kingdom Faith, it's happening in churches across the nation. And what's really exciting is it's happening with very ordinary people. What's coming back to me now is stories of where people have said, yeah, I'm going to sit on the chair, or I'm going to receive a washing machine. They are praying for people. One of my favourite ones was a lady who prayed for a builder in Sainsbury's car park. He was in intense pain in his wrists, I think it was. And nothing happened. But she prayed for him. Or she stood for healing. We try to say don't pray for healing, just heal them. The next day, though, she was back at Sainsbury's because she works there. And this builder shouts across the car park, oi, 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 comes running over to see her. He's completely healed. Didn't happen there and then, but she was just determined to go on. And there's been other stories of strange healings happening in supermarkets and offices and where people, you know, do their daily lives. We haven't got enough time. Let me just jump forwards loads. Because then what happens... Jesus has modelled what's going to do and what's going to happen. Then in verse 9, he sends out the 12. What does he give this basic group as a first lesson? So the 12 went from one village to another, preaching the gospel and healing the sick wherever they went. First lesson. It's easy. But then you think, well, they were the 12. One of them was Judas. Doesn't say they all healed except for Judas. Just a thought. Some of you think you have to be so perfect.
Come on. Very good.
It's not about you, it's about him. It's about his redemption. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ availing for all sin. Anyway, I'll leave that one for you to think about. I think that's an interesting one. So later, Jesus appoints 72 other disciples, sending them out in pairs to go ahead of him. He says to them, there's an abundant harvest waiting to be reaped, but only a few workers. So he sends them out. What does he say to them to do? Heal the sick in that place and tell them God's kingdom is now within your reach. Heal the sick. Heal the sick. This is just a bunch of newbies.
Come on.
Heal the sick, because it's easy. Just do what I've been doing. And they come back and they're filled with joy and they're celebrating and Jesus is celebrating with them. And he says, you know, but even though you've seen all this amazing stuff happening, what's even better is your names are now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, he's not putting them down for being excited. He's joining in with them. There's a lovely word used there. I've got it written here somewhere because I can't remember it. Agaleo or something it is. And it means leaping and skipping is the word used of Jesus. He was, yes, oh, fantastic. You thought, oh, you saw what? Brilliant. He wasn't Robert Powell. Solemn Jesus. You know, he was full of life and energy and joy, and he was so excited. And he's leaping about with them, saying, really? And you saw that? Oh. He said, you know what? That was something even better. He said, it's just not for now. It's not just for now, but your names are written in the book of life. You know, it's all part of it. So, I've now got to with the talk. 5 minutes. Luke 11. They've been out, they've been healing, they've seen some amazing stuff. And then you get this really odd thing happen. Luke 11 says, on one occasion when Jesus had been praying, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, please teach us how to pray. They've been out on mission. They've gone out taking nothing with them but just trusting in God to provide. They've healed the sick. They've cast out the demonic. And now they say, teach us how to pray. Praying is harder than healing. Not to put you off praying, but to make you realize how easy healing is. Healing is just speaking the word of God over somebody. Not necessarily literally getting out your NIV and quoting it. But speaking what God's word is, by his stripes you're healed. Or you don't even need to do that. You can just say, be healed.
Come on. Very good.
Sometimes when I'm praying for people, God gives me pictures of what's happening in their body. And I just say to them, you're feeling this right now. This is happening right now. Is that right? And usually they say yes. And that just helps them. It's like stirring them. It's like that initial, has the pain reduced at all? Yeah, it's got a bit better. Well, that's God beginning the healing. Why do you do that? Because, is it? That's God doing it. And their faith starts to, oh, right. And they continue to receive. But just use ordinary language, to be honest. You know? I know Jesus did spit and smear mud and stuff like that, but he might tell you to do that too, because he tells you to do things like stop the worship and offer a washing machine. But basically, just keep it normal. Unless he goes daft. From our point of view, not his. Anyway, so after all of this, they say, teach us how to pray. And we get what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer at all. He's teaching them. It's the disciples' prayer. It's our prayer. And he says, he's telling them, this is the way you can pray. And he grabs all of this immense knowledge of God and truth and just rams it into this tiny little prayer and then teaches about prayer. And so the disciples, because the disciples did know how to pray because they were Jewish. They'd been to the synagogue. They knew what prayer was. So there was something about Jesus' prayer life that was different. The difference was the way he started it. Father. Prayer is about relationship with God. That's why healing's easy. You can trust the word and release healing. Your relationship might not even be that good. But if you really want to pray, you need to know the Father. You need to know Jesus. And then the things all mix together and grow together and you release the Father's heart into people's lives. I'm not being facetious about healing. I'm just trying to tell you, you just need the faith of a mustard seed, which means small. Diddly widdly. And their minds at this point, Father. You could have probably stopped there. And they'd have just been, pater, the word he used, or the Greek word that's used, where we get the word paternal, to care for, to love, to look after, father, pater. In another place, they perhaps weren't ready for it yet. He even uses the word Abba, which is an Aramaic word it's akin to daddy, but people freak out a bit about that in English. Unless you're posh English. Because then you can talk about mummy and daddy. Or Southern American. You know, do you ever watch Dallas? Daddy. And there is respect in that word. It's a word that's difficult to say. In Hebrew today, it's used as daddy. It wasn't particularly used as daddy in the time of Jesus. So it throws everybody out. God intentionally did that. He wants to mess with your mind about how personal and how wonderful God is. So many people think they've got God in a box, and then he comes out with a word like Abba and Pater, Father. Father in heaven. How many of you learnt the Lord's Prayer at school? I was at primary school in the 70s. We had to learn it off by heart. So whenever I pray it, it comes out in King James English. And if ever I try to use the NIV or Praise God the Truth, it's just totally all over the place. Can't remember a word of it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. We worship your name, Pastor Colin's written in the truth. You know, oh, hallowed be your name. So he's your Father, he's intimate, he's personal, but also we're going to worship him. We're going to come before him. I can't teach, I've just got so much more fresh out of this awesome prayer. And it's so normalized by being just used in repetition. And yet it's gorgeous. It's about Father. And Jesus begins with Father. And if you read to the end of this little teach on prayer, he finishes with Father. He gives the story of the son going to the father and asking for a fish. And said, would you give him something else? Of course you wouldn't. But what he says, Father in heaven, we worship your holy name. May your kingdom come. In Matthew, you've got, may your will on earth be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. He says, you want to know how to pray? Well, I've been telling you, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is the kingdom of heaven? What I've shown you. It's the rule and the reign of Jesus. It's people giving their lives to him. It's people surrendering to him. And it's everything that's in heaven being manifest now. Give us this day our daily bread. When Matthew does it, the Greek that's there is like an immediate, give us our daily bread. It was a people that needed their food every day. They were scrabbling for life each day. They didn't have the securities that we have. Luke has a more of an eschatological approach. Eschatological means end times. He's sort of framed it in a way that looks forward to give us our bread for tomorrow. It's a very weird expression. But it's this kind of a, what is in heaven? What is in our future? Give us it. Bring it into our present now. You know, Dr. James Maloney talks a lot about praying in that way, taking hold of the promises of God and bringing them into the now. And that's kind of what Luke's doing with give us this day our daily bread. Whereas Matthew's more immediate, give us the food we need for today. Luke has got an emphasis on bring us what is in the tomorrow, bring us all the provision of heaven and bring it into the now. And that includes healings and that includes miracles. That includes autistic boys being able to talk. That includes plates disappearing from people's arms. That includes you getting a washing machine because you need a washing machine because your family needs their clothes cleaned. Yeah? I'm going to finish, really, really finish, and then I'm going to ask you to come forward if you just want God to release healing into your life. Is that all right? Very, very simple. That's just the way we're going to do it. But if you're thinking, I don't know if I've got the faith for it, if you've got the faith to walk forward, that's all you need.
Very good.
I go there and Jesus heals me. That's it. It's that easy. It's that simple. What happens if nothing happens? I keep thanking God for that healing and I see it happen.
Amen.
Sometimes it's instant. Sometimes it takes a couple of minutes. Sometimes it takes tens. Sometimes it takes days. Sometimes it takes longer. But we just do it. What's the point in leaving the aspirin in the medicine cupboard thinking, well, I took one last time, it didn't work. If you've got a headache, take an aspirin and pray. If you need healing, you get there and you claim the healing. You don't really pray for healing. Notice Jesus never really talks about praying for healing. He just told the guys to go and heal, and then later on they got the lesson about prayer. Because if you wrap healing up in prayer, you think it's you again. You think, I've got to get the right sort of prayer out here. I've got to get the words right too. You haven't got to get the words right. Your words can sound horrendous. It's this in here. It's your heart. Yeah, we've got to finish. I mean, there's the funny story of going to the friend that doesn't want to give him the bread, isn't there? You all know your Bibles, I reckon. Three loaves of bread. Why three loaves of bread? Because there's a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the whole of the Godhead is available to you right now. And the reluctant friend is contrasted to the gracious Father. If you can get an answer out of a reluctant friend, you're certainly going to get it out of a gracious Father, is what Jesus is saying. So keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, he then goes. The other thing he really emphasized, Jesus is here, is what I'm trying to emphasize as well, is that persistence. 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 Don't let go. Ask, seek, knock. Anyone heard of Bede? He died in 735. He was the first person to write an English history. But he taught, and I like it, and I've been thinking about it, that asking was the prayer, the seeking was living it out, and the knocking was persevering.
That's it.
Hey, even in the 8th century, they were alive in the spirit. I love that. Ask in prayer, How do you seek then? You live it out. As if you've got the answer, even if you haven't seen it yet. How do you knock? You keep persevering in that. You keep asking and you keep seeking. It's good, isn't it? Can I just throw that in for free at the end? And let's just go to the very last line of this bit of teaching. If you who are far from perfect know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, your Pater, your paternal carer in heaven, who is perfect, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And Matthew says, good gifts. Because Jesus didn't teach these things once, and that was it. He taught them all over the place. And Luke's written it down from one time, and Matthew's written it down from another time. And he adjusted his teaching each time. It won't be the same next service, quite. It'll be similar. And it was like that with Jesus. He was following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he was sensitive to what was around him, and he used the right message for the right people at the right time. People say, oh, it's contradictions. It's not contradictions, it's just different times. So that's it, really. How much more does your Father know how to give good gifts to you? Sometimes people say, you shouldn't teach on Father because people have had bad fathers. If you had a bad father, you're at an advantage. Should I tell you why? I had a fantastic father. He was the best. But God is so infinitely, so much better than my dad. Very often I'll limit him to the concept of fatherhood I had because I had such a good father. If you have a terrible father, you know you cannot rely on that model. You've got to get into the true model of who God is as a father. Let God take what seems to be a disadvantage and turns it into something that's for your good. So you can, if you've had the most horrendous father ever, and I really, my heart goes out to you, I'm not minimizing anything that you've been through, know that you don't have to carry that as a burden and as a, oh, I didn't have a very good father. No, you've got an advantage. You can press into the true father heart of God actually easier than the one that had the great dad, because he's limited more easily by the model he had demonstrated for him. You ever thought about it like that? Let's all stand, shall we? When you pray for someone in Sainsbury's car park, you won't have Chad on keyboard playing for you. He might come along with his keytar, mind you. But he is here, so let's use him. Because he's anointed. Do you want the whole worship team, or do you want to do a solo? You're going to do a solo. All right. Now, we won't be spending long doing this because you have a second service. So Clive will probably bring this one to an end at some now. And we'll just carry on praying here for as long as we can until they need to set up for the next one. All right? But God will do what God needs to do. But so that you can exercise some faith, if you haven't been healed already, and even if you have, come forward, you can tell us. It'd be great to hear a couple of stories maybe if we've got the microphone and the time. If you need healing, now, one of the things that God seems to use, there's some several things that God seems to use me a lot, I guess, because I've seen it, you have sort of faith for it, don't you? And one is definitely the pain factor. I've seen so many people completely released from pain, and it can be something that where they had a sports injury from 2 days ago, or it can be cancer. It doesn't really matter what the source is, but the pain goes and they're healed. So if you've come in pain, migraines particularly, even if you haven't got one this morning, come forward, let's just see the end of those. They're nasty, aren't they? Hate sickness, but the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Metanoia, change your mind. Sit on the chair. Repent and believe. Repent's not a bad thing. You haven't failed when you repent, you're succeeding. It's what we're supposed to do. We feel like, oh, I've not been a good enough Christian, I'm repenting. No, you're being a Christian. Pain particularly. Something that's not physical. Dyslexia. Seen so many people healed of dyslexia. Adults and children. Eczema. Lots. Asthma. Lots. What else is happening? There's particularly somebody with pain in this right knee. It clicks, causes you a lot of irritation, particularly if you want to go walking any distance. Tonight, this morning even, it's dark. You can come forward, because that's the faith you're exercising. I go forward, God's going to heal me. It's recurring stomach pains. You've got a pain right now. It's here. I'm not very good left and right. You have to turn around. Why does that work? I don't know. But anyway, it's here. It's there right now. It's time to be healed. I've mentioned Alzheimer's. Let's just stand for the healing. There's people in this room, three I believe, who've been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. It's time to reverse the curse. I'm just going for it. Lady the other week came forward in a wheelchair. She'd been in a wheelchair for 40 years. She didn't get out of it. I'm telling you that because I want to tell you, we just go for it. She was mightily blessed and she had an awesome morning and she went home very happy. I wasn't happy because I wanted to see her walking. In fact, I was really shocked she wasn't. There's another lady who had her legs amputated. This is from a while ago now. And this messes with your head because they were amputated up here. So she, obviously she sits in a wheelchair. And the legs have grown 6 inches. And she now needs knees. That's like, what on earth is going on? Why don't you just do the job, Lord? Why is this taking months and months and months? Everywhere she goes, she takes shoes. So I don't understand it. Why 6 inches? That doesn't seem much more use than not 6 inches. But that's where we're at. That's where we're believing. So it's time to see miracles. Not just the healings, not just colds, but we want to see them too. Not just headaches, but we see them too. But miracles. Broken wrists, mended. Fibromyalgia is another really popular one with preachers because you can tell, oh, that person's healed and nobody can tell, so they look great. But let's see it healed anyway. Let's not be scared of the fact that some people have put that on show and tried to make it look like they're great. I'm not great. Jesus is great. Do you want to come forward now if you're ready to receive? Doesn't matter if I haven't mentioned it. You're going to meet with Jesus. I'm probably going to lay hands on most of you, but it doesn't need that, actually. Remember what it says there in Luke. He healed them all. So that includes you. And we're going to carry on. And if you need to go, because it's gone 11, you can go. There's no problem.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.